Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and thank you for listening to me today. We're going to start with a quick little devotion. I just love Jesus so much, and this is from a book that was given to me called Sweet Tea for the Soul. So now we've almost have a complete meal. There's chicken soup for the soul. Now we have something to drink, sweet tea for the soul. And I'm going to share with you my devotion of this morning called Harps Upon the Willows. And the verse is Psalms 137:2. On the willow trees in the midst of Babylon, we hung our harps. When the kingdom of Judah was taken captive and carried away into Babylon, there were among them many musicians who sought solace through their gifts, praising God near the abundant willow trees on the banks of the waters there. The Babylonians heard their sweet songs and bid the musicians to entertain them. But rather than offer sacred songs to men, they hung their harps upon the willows, considering it far better to put their instruments aside than to profane them in the service of idols. The willow branches seemed to weep, drooping under the weight of the harps, much as the hearts of these faithful worshipers. They could have dashed their harps to pieces, but instead they preserved their instruments because God told them through the prophet Jeremiah precisely when their captivity would end. And you can go to Jeremiah 29:10 and read it there for yourself. Here's our faith check. What should you do when faced with a choice like that? Whether you find yourself facing persecutions, trials, or temptations, you may have to make a similar commitment to honor God by laying your harp under the willows. And I love this quote. It ends with this quote from Billy Graham. Knowing we will be with Christ forever far outweighs our burdens today. Keep your eyes on eternity. And I'm going to have a prayer. I have some prayer requests. And as I get prayer requests in, I will be sure and pray for them. But I will protect your anonymity on the radio. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up to you today a family that has just experienced the loss of one of their young sons, a Marine, and he gave his life for his country. Please be with them and comfort them. I pray for another couple who are in the sunset years of their lives and he is experiencing kidney failure, and I pray for him. I pray for another family whose mother passed away and now the young daughter, just the sweet age of 17, has decided to go transgender and how that is impacting the family and herself. And I pray for those corporate issues, our country and our churches and our schools. Lord, may your Holy Spirit rest on those true seekers of you. Thank you so much for being with us in this show. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Here's our crafty idea for the day. And we're going to be making what I call love bugs. You need a paper towel roll, some googly eyes, maybe a little pom-pom for a nose, some glitter glue, pipe cleaners, of course, tempera paint. And I put this on my Pinterest site. You can go to www.pinterest.com/mrgamblin2/. And I have it there in my TP Roll Crafts board. There are so many things that you can do with paper rolls, like paper towel tubes and toilet paper tubes. But we're making love bugs today. So you take the toilet paper towel roll and paint it with some tempera paint and let that dry. And then the next day you come back and you start embellishing your bug. Now you could also use this for an insect unit or you know, spider unit and just adapt it, make sure it has 8 legs instead of 6 and that kind of thing. But that is our crafty idea for the day. And I'm calling them love bugs because I just like my students to wax creative. And even my 6th, 7th, and 8th grade boys enjoy making these bugs. So have fun with our crafty idea. Curriculum review. Da-da-da-da. Today we're going to talk about art. And I'm going to recommend what I think is one of the coolest art curriculums that a school or a homeschooling family can do. It's called Artistic Pursuits, and it is a series of courses that cover art appreciation, art history, artists, and skills. The emphasis on each area shifts from book to book. Throughout the lesson, students work on their own projects with various art media. And this teacher or mom teacher is where the most work probably will be for you, is collecting the supplies and helping the students keep them organized, how to wash brushes, where to put paints. While there is an underlying Christian worldview, it isn't overtly presented until the junior and senior high levels in articles about artists and cultures of their time. Artistic Pursuits by Brenda Ellis is written for students in preschool through 12th grade. There are 12 books in the series designed to work in either homeschools or classrooms. The books are labeled for a range of grade levels, so you might even be able to use one course for most of your children. And you can most easily use a younger level book with older students, since many skills and activities are challenging enough or offer scope for an older student to develop greater skill. Now take this for example, page 49 of Art and Composition, grades 4 through 5, book 1, is a lesson about how to best show the subject, and it illustrates and discusses drawing animals at different angles. While a younger student might go and do a rough drawing, an older student might provide a much more detailed and sophisticated drawing. So you can take and just buy one book a year and use that to guide you for your art requirement. I highly recommend Artistic Pursuits by author Brenda Ellis. Now, since this series was developed, she's also added or improved the series and added videos to go with it. But I believe that you could do just fine without the extra expense because this is a very good art curriculum. Questions homeschoolers ask. So today we have a question. My son's 7th birthday is coming up soon. Besides Legos, what are your 7-year-olds into? And here are some of the answers. So Shelly writes, superheroes, Legos, sports, Scooby-Doo. Melissa writes, if you don't already have Magna tiles, they are awesome. And Ashley writes, monster trucks. Brianna writes, audiobooks. We've just discovered Playways at the library, and basically a little MP3 player that you can check out and listen to the book. Her 7-year-old is also interested in outdoor survival and camping in the Bear Grylls novel, My Side of the Mountain. Kathy says, A Ticket Ride, Junior, Books, Action Bible, Brain Putty, plus Toys by STEM. Quite a few Magna tiles. Corey says, my son got a bearded dragon for Christmas and he loves it. It's really cool. They aren't fast or scary and he loves his hoverboard. That sounds a little expensive. And his electric dirt bike and his laser tag. Beyblades, ticket rides, Jonathan Parr, Nerf guns, bikes. And of course, my personal favorite is anything that you can do outside. If it's the winter time, you can get him a sled and then you go outside sledding, or a snowboard a trainer for snowboarding. If it's summertime, you can get things that you use in water, and time is the best gift of all. you know, giving a coupon of time is really meaningful even to a child as young as 7 years old. So there you have our ideas about what you should get a seven-year-old. Okay, well, we have time here for a second question. So this person says, have any of you thought about life after the kids are grown? I got married at 18 and we had our first child at 20. I've been homeschooling ever since. My husband is a trucker, so he's not at home. So there isn't going to be time with hubby, like most suggest, and I don't want to just be busy and fill my time. I will miss doing something that feels like it actually matters. And here are some of the answers. This Lauren says, I'm planning on teaching at Liberty University once I'm done and my kids are older. Jessica says, I might volunteer at our local pregnancy care center. And if I'm needed to watch grandkids, I want to be available to do that. Christy says, I figured out that my youngest won't graduate till I'm 58 and my husband is 72. So nope, not thinking about that yet. I had my first at 29 and I'm expecting my sixth child at 40. Well, good for her. Robin suggests that you travel with your hubby once the kids are grown and all out. And Christina, she says, ministry, volunteer work. Take the kids along. Find something that makes your heart happy. And I just do agree with all of these. Janine says, all the time, I also have thought about if the house will be too big after all the kids leave. I forgot to mention that my husband works on a boat. So the whole not going to know what to do when they're all gone is a big question for me. Kaylin says, that's the beauty of it all. For the first time in a long time in your life, you'll get to blaze your own path and you'll get to start working on the question of who are you? And you'll have time to find yourself. Don't let this idea give you anxiety. Let it give you excitement and exhilaration. Great answer. Amber says, my husband is also a truck driver and I plan to spend some time traveling with him. The rest of the time I plan on working in my garden, raising my farm animals, crocheting and crafting in general, reading an entire book, and hopefully at some point watching my grandchildren. I may work part-time somewhere or not. You know, all of these are great, great answers, and I wish that you'd keep in mind that little private church school that really could use all the expertise you've gained from teaching your children. Keep sending your questions in. Now, we're going to transition from our kind of like our fruit salad in the first half of the show, and we're going to talk about the right to be forgotten in the second half of the show. So you're going to want to stay tuned as we talk about the right to be forgotten. We'll be right back.
Wow, so much trouble in this world.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Makes me wonder if I can trust anybody. I heard my dad saying that people in big companies are just out to make money, even if they have to cheat their customers. And that leaders of countries hurt their people so they can live in big mansions. And I even heard a story about some parents who hurt their own children. How sad is that?
Well, we can't stop trusting people, can we?
I don't think so. We need to learn stuff in school, buy things at the store, and live in our houses. I mean, my mom and dad would never hurt me, would they?
Remember what the preacher said last week in church? He said that the only person we can trust for sure is God. He would never hurt us or make us sad.
So?
Well, if someone loves God, that means that that person is trying to be like God. You know, someone who's kind and trustworthy. Well, our parents love God, so I think we can trust them. And some other parents may not believe in God, but they're trying to live honest, kind lives. So I think we can trust them too.
I see what you're saying. We can trust people who are honest and kind, whether they believe in God or not. But if someone isn't living like God wants us to live, you know, being selfish, mean, dishonest, we really shouldn't trust them.
Pastor also said that trusting God is good for your health. We feel more peaceful and happy. We feel like we've got a friend even when everyone else is mean to us.
I guess there is something in this world we can trust: God.
That's so good to know.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland. P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call us at 301-824-3162. 301-824-3162. Welcome back. You're listening to Homeschool Companion. The right to be forgotten. What does the right to be forgotten mean? Well, it is a privilege that would allow individuals more control over their personal information, particularly that information collected and connected with new technology. And where did this movement start from? The right to be forgotten has an ancestor that emerged in the pre-internet era known as practical obscurity. It refers to physical data that is so difficult to access, it is practically obscure. Now, we have found out that nothing ever goes away anymore. So, if you are a young person and you're running around, carousing around, and maybe in with the wrong crowd, and that becomes part of a newspaper article or a police report, that can keep you from getting a job. So we need to figure out how to expunge those kind of records so that it doesn't follow our young people all the way into adulthood and ruin their life forever. To help set the stage, let's listen in on Radiolab to this interview, and then you can let me know what you think. You can always go to the Facebook page. I'm going to try to set it up so I can accept your comments on our Facebook page for Homeschool Companion, or you can go to my Facebook page, Rose Gamblin, and befriend me, and we can talk about this. Does someone really have the right to be to have their records expunged and taken off from every video outlet? So this interview is our peek into a group of editors who are trying to figure out if they should take the records of this young person off their site. And of course, Google has the same dilemma. Once it's out there, Google keeps it out there forever. They don't have enough manpower, I guess, to erase it. So there's the issue with Google, not just with a newspaper story that might have picked up your sin and archived it, but then it goes on and it becomes out there in cyberspace forever. So enjoy or think as you listen to this little excerpt from Radiolab, where they're discussing should they take the records off for this young man.
All right, this is a good one. It's a college kid who got involved.
So one of the cases that Chris and the other editors talked about while I was there was this college student who got involved in a drug operation. We're not going to say which drug. And he was doing it with some friends, and we're not going to say how many.
And this is one of the kids asking us. Again, it's going back. It is a college kid doing something very, very stupid. But, you know, it's going to dog him for the rest of his life if it stays on our site. Everybody knows about it. Yeah, but this is a college kid doing something really dumb. I mean, and it's bad. I mean, he was enabling people to do drugs. Years later, he's trying to get on with his life.
So the first thought you hear in the room is just, we should take these articles down.
I didn't have an issue with this one, but if somebody does, speak up. I mean,
but then on the other side,
there is something to me that's different between selling pot on the side when you're in college or something and getting caught for it, or even selling drugs and other drugs. So it seemed to me like there's, I don't know if that's long enough for me to think, like, let's take this down.
I never did anything stupid when I was in college, I guess.
Well, I did, but I did not. Now, look, I mean, I'm the former rock critic, right? So I'm, like, given to, like, give this guy a break. But seems to me that judging from, like, some of the other cases we've looked at, this is fairly serious.
He wasn't one of the ones that said they were getting clean, right? Like, he wasn't saying I was under the influence of drugs at the time, and no, I mean, that's not an excuse, but the conversation turns to, okay, who is he? Does he deserve to be forgotten? And to figure that out, there are a ton of different questions you could ask. You know, is he sober? Is he reformed? Was he sober then? How much time has passed? How much time was he doing it?
Question.
Are the other people in here having a difficult time getting jobs? I mean, there's a lot of unknowns here. You know, I mean, all these other people, their lives might be fine. Maybe there's another reason this guy isn't getting jobs, you know?
Do we know that he hasn't done anything since then?
Yeah, he's clear, and he is seeking to get expunged. He's saying it's coming up in every job interview he has, right? Does an employer have a right to know this? Does an employer... And he is getting it expunged. I mean, the other thing we could do is say, when your expungement's complete, let us know, and we'll take it down. Years later, he was in college. He was 25. He wasn't like he was 18.
But remove the fact that this is a clean-cut kid who was going to a private college, and move this scenario to the same age, the same race, but not in college and in some rural community. Would our willingness to...
So I became interested in this topic when I listened to a show on Radiolab. And you can go and listen to the whole show. So what do you think? Do you really think that the educated editor or internet cyber editor, it really has the answers to all these questions and makes a decision on someone's life like that and the biases and prejudice that can be there without you even realizing it? It really makes one stop to ponder. And my message to the young people, my message is please think before you do anything, because it literally will follow you around all the days of your life. And with that being said, we've come to the end of our show. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. And I hope that we've said some things here that have started you thinking about how to direct and help your children really grow wholesome lives and not have any regrets. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.